I am so glad to be a Christian.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I shared with you last week, you know, sometimes we have to play the what if game. Well, what if my mom and dad hadn't got saved? I mean, that's a big what if, isn't it? What if they hadn't been faithful stewards and faithful servants to God? And like I shared with you, my life would be drastically different. And for either the good or the bad, yours would be different. Because like I told you last week, I ended up being your pastor. And so hopefully more good than bad there. But folks, we serve an almighty God. And we take him for granted sometimes. I'm just as guilty as the rest of us. We grew up with God. We, Christianity, church. And I've made the statement, you probably made the statement before, well, we're going to church again. Well, we ought to be glad we're going to church again. You know, but sometimes we just get so comfortable. I'm looking for a different word here. Jackie, can you help me out this week? Jackie helped me out last week with the word I was looking for. But just so, we take God so much for granted and church so much for granted that it's like we feel like we have to go again. Folks, we get to go. We get to come to church. And I pray that the day never comes that we don't get to. But we need to take every time we come here and value it for what, how precious that it really, really, really is. Well, this morning I'm going to start off with two verses. These verses are both extremely familiar to us. And they're very simple verses. The first verse, in fact, both of these verses you could probably quote with me, but this first verse, I know you learned it when you were a young child. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I'm going to share a secret with you guys. In fact, I don't even know if I've even told Diana this before. Every time I quote that verse, I hear me at 5 or 6 years old quoting that verse. I hear this high little pitch, squeaky little voice, "For God so loved the world." And it's in there. And that tells you how simple that is, because that's one of the first verses we learn as children, isn't it? And it's so ingrained into us that even though I hear my adult voice coming out verbally, in my head I still hear my child voice quoting that verse. It's that simple. The second verse is Romans 10:9. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Now, folks, there's not any simpler verses in the Bible. Those verses are so simple, so clear, and so precise, it would take a really good theologian to mess them up. And some real good theologians have tried to mess them up, but they haven't done it. In fact, John 3:16 could even be called the gospel in a nutshell. If we had to choose one verse to sum up the entire Bible, I think John 3:16 would do it. It talks about the love of God. It talks about salvation. It talks about eternal life. It talks about God loving us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. We could literally, I say we, God could literally change the world with that one verse. In fact, I heard of a preacher, I can't think of his name now, but one of the old-time world-known evangelists that preached on that verse, I think it was 3 or 4 years, he never used another verse. And somebody asked him one night, said, "Why don't you preach on another verse?" He said, "Well, I'm not done with that one yet." It's that simple, yet that deep of a verse. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at the simplicity of salvation. And it is simple. I was 8 years old when I got saved. It can't be too complicated for an 8-year-old, can it? I have some friends that were saved when they were even younger than 8 years old. To me, salvation is a whole lot like a car. And I know some of you are going to go, oh, where's he going with this illustration? But it really is just like a car. To start a car, all I have to know is where to take the key, where to place it, and how to turn it. That's all I have to know. Now, there's a whole lot more going on there, isn't there? You have to have a battery, and it has to be hooked up properly, and it has to be working properly. You have to have a starter. It has to be designed properly and hooked up properly, and all those, it has to work with the battery and everything else properly. You have to have a fuel pump to pump the fuel up to the motor, and you have to have pistons and all those other things in there. But folks, if you had to know all that stuff to start a car, I'd be in big trouble. And so would most of you. Even when you get ready to teach a new driver how to drive, you might know all of the details of what actually happens when you turn the key. You might know how the motor works in intimate detail, but all you teach him is where to stick the key and where to turn it, or how to turn it. Salvation is just like that. There is so much more to salvation than what's in those two verses. But we're going to keep it really simple this morning. We're going to teach you where to stick the key of faith and how to turn the key of faith. And when you leave here today, you are going to know as simply as possible how to be saved. It is that simple. And one of the things that amazes me about salvation is it is so simple. Yet on the other side, it is so powerful. The message of salvation has changed men and women that literally look like they could not be changed. The Apostle Paul is a great example. And in our day, modern day, there's a young man by the name of Kirk Cameron, and I'm sure most everybody here has heard of him. He used to play on the show Growing Pains. He was a very devout atheist. He heard the message of salvation one time, and it moved him so deeply that he repented after hearing the message of salvation just once. It truly is that powerful. Now this morning we're going to look at two things about salvation. We're going to look at God's love and our acceptance of that love, because that really is the simplicity of salvation. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved. And then at the end it says, for whosoever will. That's talking about God's love. That's talking about our acceptance of God's love. I like what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. John put it this way. He said, in this was manifested or was revealed the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. Now, did you catch that verse? It said, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And it goes on to say that he showed his love by sending his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And he didn't send his only begotten Son into the world while we were goody-goody people. He sent his Son into the world while we were yet sinners, while we were yet enemies of God. That's just like one of us sending our son or our daughter over to the Middle East, finding the worst enemy that we have over there and saying, child, I want you to die for that person. We cannot comprehend that. But that's how great that God's love is. He revealed his love. He manifested his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent his Son to die for us. That's truly the greatest love that exists. John chapter 13 and John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want you to listen to me very closely. God has done all that He can do to get you saved. Folks, there is nothing else He can do. He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for your sins. He has given you the gospel in written form, on the radio, on TV. The Bible even says that the creation declares the glory of God. There are people in the world that have never heard of Jesus Christ, yet they worship a God because they know there's a God through the creation. God has done everything possible. What else could He do? What else could He do? If you remember the rich man, he was begging God to send Moses or one of the other prophets back to his brothers, and God told him, if they won't hear the men that's on earth, they wouldn't hear a prophet from the dead either. You have the opportunity this morning to receive God's love. God sent His love through His Son, and His Son is the greatest gift that could be given. Now, His Son is very, I say His Son and the love behind His Son is one of the easiest things to accept. I told you I accepted that at 8 years old. But it is also one of the most difficult things to comprehend. And I really think that's where some people get caught up. I can't understand this. Well, if you don't understand how your car works, then walk home. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I don't understand how my car works. But yet you still get in there and turn the key and put it in gear and take off. Yet when it comes to salvation, I can't understand it. You don't have to understand it. It's called by faith. By faith, we receive God's gift. The intellect cannot understand it. We have to receive it by faith because it goes beyond our comprehension. Anybody tells you they understand it, they may think they do, but they are deceived because it is beyond our ability to comprehend it. Let me share a story with you that I think will help you understand how God sees us. And when I first heard this story years ago, this really opened up my eyes because, you know, even at 8 years old, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I had sinned against God. I was, well, as you guys have been around me long enough to know, very mischievous back then. My mom is here today. She can definitely vouch for some of the things I did. We won't give her a chance to do that. But I knew at 8 years old that I was a sinner. So this story helped me to understand God's love. It was talking about a gem dealer that was going through this gem and mineral show and walked up to this one table and he found a blue violet stone about the size of a potato. To the ordinary person, it looked just like a stone, nothing special. In fact, he asked the seller there, said, so you want $15 for this stone? And the vendor said, well, I know it's not a very pretty stone. Said, I'll take 10 for it. The guy said, you want $10? He said, yeah, 10's about as low as I can go. So this gem dealer gave the vendor $10 for this stone. Very ordinary looking stone. That stone has since been certified as a 1,905 carat natural star sapphire valued at $2.28 million. The vendor had no clue what he had, did he? It took a lover of stones to realize the worth of that sapphire stone. Folks, it takes a lover of souls by the name of Jesus Christ to recognize the true value of ordinary people. When you stop and realize that God gave His only Son so that you might be saved, that's a humbling thought. To me, that's an overwhelming thought. You know, for anybody to give their son that I could be saved, even from physical danger, would be an amazing thing. But for God to give His only Son, that shows me my true worth. That ought to show you your true worth. The lover of souls says you are somebody special, even if when you look in the mirror, you may not look like somebody special. God's not looking on the outside. He's looking on the inside, and He says that you are made in His image, after His likeness, and He wants you in His family. God so loved you that He gave His Son for you. And all we have to do is to put our faith in Him. Simply believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He came to this earth, and that He lived, and that He died, and that He was the supreme sacrifice for our sins. And then on the third day, He rose again, not as He was, but as a victorious Savior. Faith is simply believing what God said in His Word and acting on it. That's how we all got saved. That's how I got saved. If you're saved, that's how you got saved. Is simply believing God's Word and acting on it. Now, there's a lot of benefits to being a Christian. In fact, the Bible tells us to not forget all of the benefits. But I want to put the benefits aside for just a second and talk about why you need a Savior. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you're on an airplane. In fact, let's just put us all on the same airplane. And we're up around 5,000 feet, which is pretty high. That's a mile up. That's not near as high as they can go, but 5,000 feet, pretty high, right? And let's say all of a sudden that airplane takes a nosedive. The engines are gone. The controls on that plane are gone. It is imminent that it is going to smash into the ground, burst into a ball of fire, and everybody on board is going to die. There's one thing you need at that point. You need a parachute. And you can jump out of that plane and save yourself with the parachute, or the parachute actually saves you. You're tied to it. But folks, in real life, we're on a plane that's headed down. It's called life. Every one of us here is getting older. Anybody here over 100 years old? 90 years old? 80 years old? I know we get a few at 80. Got two at 80. So your chances of living much longer than 80, slim. But let's say you lived 120 or 130. Your plane's still going down. You need a parachute. You need a Savior. Someday you will die and you will stand before God and you will give account of what you did with His Son. You need a Savior. I don't care how morally good you are. You have sinned. And the only sin you have to commit to be a sinner is to deny God's Son. So you definitely need a Savior. John 3:16 again tells us what God did for us. God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. And in John 10:9, God tells us what we must do. I like that. God said, here's what I did, and here's what you got to do. It doesn't get any simpler than that, folks. John 10:9 again says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I told you I was going to make it simple. It doesn't get any simpler than this right here. To be saved, you must believe that Jesus was the Son of God. You must believe that He died on the cross as your supreme sacrifice for your sin. You must believe that He rose again triumphant over death, and simply confess that with your mouth. And the Bible says you will be saved. So it really boils down to this. God's done all He can do. It's now your choice. That whosoever in John 3:16 means if you choose to, you can be saved. And the if in John 10:9, if you will do these things, says you have a choice to do these or a choice not to do these. You're making a choice today. If you're here today and you are not saved, you are making a choice. I beg you to make the right choice. I cannot imagine life without Jesus Christ. The things that we have to go through in this life, I don't know how people ever make it without Jesus Christ. And the peace of knowing that we can lay down at night, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in the world, we can sleep with peaceful sleep because we know if it ends tonight, that's okay. We're going to heaven. And if you think there's not a heaven, you will when you wake up. Just too late then. So I beg you this morning to accept God's gift of salvation. It really is as simple as we said it was. Because that's what God said. Those were not my words. Those were God's words. We're going to stand and pray here in just a moment. And we're going to ask God to move upon your heart. And I pray you would have the courage and the boldness to come forward this morning and to receive Him. Father, we come before You this morning, and I thank You that salvation is so simple that even as an 8-year-old boy, that I could bow before You and say, Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me and to give me the gift of eternal life, and You did that for me. And yet, Father, the plan of salvation is so powerful that there's not an age limit on it. We have men in this church that literally were saved up late in life. And God, I thank You for that. That's a rare thing, but I thank You for that. And Father, for those that are here this morning that do not know You as their Savior, they've never received Jesus Christ and His sacrifice and the love that You shed through Him, I pray that You would just let the Holy Spirit surround them this morning with Your love and show them how desperately they need a Savior this morning. And help them to realize, Father, just as this song says, that the Savior is waiting. And he's not just waiting, he's standing there with his arms open wide to receive them this morning. And I thank you, Father, for the way you're moving in the hearts this morning. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.